At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This
bound, every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White, and I am the host of Keeping It Real on Purpose. Today, you are in the place where we talk to real people with real stories in real time on purpose. So I'm so excited to have today Lynn Forney with us, who is an author. Welcome to our show, Keeping It Real.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so tell me and tell the audience, how do you show up in the world?
Gosh, I feel like different days, it's probably different, right?
I don't know, girl, because you know how we do. You know how we do. We are everything. I'm everyone. You know, that's right, right?
So I try to show up as authentically as I can, you know, like I have a really boisterous laugh that people really get to know me very well from. I'm also very sensitive and emotional, but I love to have fun and support people. Yeah. And I have my, you know, sad days too, where I just kind of want to curl up in bed and stay there and not show so much up in the world. So.
But I love that one. Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
But probably more as I get older to like not put my junk onto other people, right? I'm trying to be very cognizant of that. So
Yeah. Good. All right. So tell us the story behind Choosing Survival. By the way, audience, great book. And I'll give my review later on, but very good book. Go ahead.
So I was attacked when I was 21, back in 1998. So I can do the math of how old I am. You know, when I would tell the people kind of more details about the story, I would just kind of find myself saying, I know it's just crazy. I should just write a book, right? I should just write a book one day. And I never really knew if I would actually do it. I didn't think that I couldn't do it, but like, would I actually do it? I didn't know. It was just sort of always somewhere in the back of my mind. And, you know, cause I'm a performing artist. That's mainly what my life has been kind of revolved around. And so like, I work through my emotions in that way a lot, but, this is a funny random story. So, during lockdown, I had kind of always been interested in vocal lessons. Definitely intimidate me. And I found this coach who her mentorship is kind of like bold vocal, right? Like finding your voice through singing lessons. And kind of somehow that led, and she's also like a life coach. So it kind of led into going into a coaching program. And somehow I'd mentioned to her about this book and kind of feeling like maybe this was the time to write it. Cause I'd done so much work to heal through it. Like this is not something I could have written 15 years ago. And so through her coaching program, I kind of dabbled and started writing. I wrote one of my poems, actually that's in the book. And then I wrote the first chapter and I read it to this very small coaching group. And the response I got was really beautiful. And I was like, maybe I have something here. Maybe this is the time. So I just kind of.
Maybe you do.
Yeah, yes. And I did it.
That's great. So You know, I'm going to ask you, you not to tell you your story in short form, but I think I'm going to go to one of the chapters that I want you to talk about. And it's chapter 10, sustained injuries from multiple stab wounds. Mm-hmm. Tell us the premise behind that and what's the lesson you want us to learn from that?
I was just trying to kind of tell very candidly exactly the injuries I sustained. That's really the premise of that chapter is literally like, these are the injuries I had, you know, I sustained from this man attacking me, and kind of the aftermath of all of that. So that's that very brief, just kind of like here, because I took that basically from my medical notes. Like these are my medical notes and I'm just going to tell it what it, just tell it like it is. Like you said.
Yeah. And I want to tell you all, there was some pretty substantial lacerations, but what I liked, what you said, were wounds, and wounds has a different connotation than lacerations. Mm-hmm. But wounds is like, it left a mark, not only on my body, but on me. Yeah. And I think that's what I took out of this. I was like, why would she say wounds? She could say cuts, tears. But audience, there are seven and they're very serious, but you gotta read the book to see. I'm not gonna tell them, you all gotta read it. So let me ask you, in your chapter, on chapter 13, you talk about the third day home. Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit for the audience, just to tell them a little bit about how your third day home after sustaining these injuries were.
It was terrifying. So I was in the hospital for 16 days. And I think I would have been there a little longer, but I just asked them, like, can I go home now? I just wanted to go home, you know, but I didn't even think, cause I had two friends that had come to visit me. Right. I'm like, I just want to go. I was 21. Right? I'm like, I want to go be with my friends, not be here anymore. And so the weekend was lovely because I had these friends there and I felt really supported. And then the third day my mom went back to work and it was the first time I was home alone. And I didn't think about that part of being home, right, and getting out of the hospital. And I was on the phone with my mother and a call, and this is back in the day before everyone had a cell phone, okay? So a call waiting came through, and so I answered it, and it was a man's voice, and something, I didn't recognize it completely at first, but something just kind of didn't sit right with me when I answered that phone call. And I was taught to kind of answer like, my mother's not available, you know, may I take a message kind of thing, right? And instead of saying she's not here. And so I kind of said, well, she's not available. And then something stopped me from saying like, you know, can I take a message? And then he was like, is this Lynn? And I was like, yes, it is. And he started kind of asking me like how I was doing. He started asking me like what the police were doing for me. And I knew this was the man that attacked me. And I was just like, oh my God, like, who is this? Like, who is this? And he started asking me like, why did you start screaming? Why did you start screaming? And he just said it multiple times to me and got angrier and angrier. And I just was kind of, I of course started raising my voice and, you know, using some profanities I won't use here, but I was just like, who is this? You know, and I was just so terrified. It was the first time I really felt just so exposed. Cause I'm like, is he across the street? Is he next door? I don't know where he is and how is he calling me? And that was really, really terrifying. And, you know,
It was like you were re-traumatized yet again. Oh, and here's this guy that has the audacity to call you. That is just so traumatizing. And like you said, you were worried, was he across the street? Because there was no cell phones back in time. There were, but they were crappy. Right. You know, was he in the phone booth down the road? Where was he? You know, was he in the house next door? How did he get your phone number? All of these things were going through your mind, you know? So yeah, you displayed courage, even answering the phone, even being in control. Because even though you thought you were getting out of control, you actually were acting normal because that's a normal response to an idiot. You know, it's an idiot that's attacked someone and want to ask them, how are they? What?
Yeah.
And like, just, so you had courage and you had strength. You did the right thing. I applaud you with that because as I was reading, I said, oh, sister girl.
Yeah.
I don't know. I had the problem. I had to call Cousin Joe or somebody to get him because I'm like, oh, no. Like, you really displayed some real courage. I'm telling you, it's just, I was amazed by it. I Yeah.
Thank you.
Some courage. Thanks. Some complete courage. And how you really wrote this is really encouraging. I will tell you, audience, I don't want to share it all, because if I do, I was going to share another chapter, but I'm not. What I'm going to ask you, Lynn, what was your most favorite part to write?
Well, I can tell you what my least favorite parts to
write. Okay, I like that.
Most favorite part. I think when I was coming to, like, I knew this was gonna end soon, like, okay, I'm kind of towards the finish line. I think right. After about the dance I created about PTSD was a really fulfilling chapter. And I think the very last chapter too, I think just hoping that I can leave whoever reads this with hope. Because there's obviously some very dark parts of this book. It's very heavy. But I also wanted this to be uplifting, you know, at the same time, and give other people hope. And someone that read it kind of said, you know, I somehow felt seen. And that was just the most beautiful comment I could have ever gotten.
Yeah. Because it's not, like I told you pre-show, it's not triggering, but you get the gist of everything and you understand it. And even though, like you said, it's some dark things can happen without triggering you. So the way it is written, you share the dark, because without the dark, we can't have no light, right? Exactly. So you share the dark. And like you said, at the end, you kind of gave it, but I don't think it was the end. I think it was when you start sharing the poetry. That lightened the mood, you know, it really lightened the mood.
Yeah,
it just lightened everything. So I know that you've done a few poetry in the back, you know, and my favorite is Betty. So if you would read that for our audience, that would be great.
Okay.
We'd love to hear you and your own voice read this.
Okay, thank you. All right, my actor voice. Betty. A tiny spark lay in the distance, one so fragile and new, lay dormant like a seedling, just bursting to break through. It sends out a signal, searching the globe, wondering which special person can decipher its code. Wondering, waiting, I can't wait to be found. But as the time ticks away, the spark sinks deeper in the ground. The joy drains away, I'll never find my mate. The one I am meant for, the one to change my fate. Its hope fades away, its light grows dim. I may as well succumb, I have no choice but to give in. As the spark descends with sorrow and grief, its course rapidly changes and is left in disbelief. Who just rescued me? I thought for sure I was dead. And the spark gazes upwards to find you instead. It is you, my mate, we were meant to be, and I am an idea, and it is you who'll set me free. Joy floods your body as you embrace your new friend, for you too had felt empty, your heart needing to mend. This is it, you exclaim. This will make me whole. I will proceed forth with glee. It will be something to behold. As you and your spark form this new partnership, your mind races with wonder. It even does a backflip. You smile and you skip. Your heart dances with delight. You can't wait to bring this idea out into the light. As your mind opens up to what's possible and new, you notice another voice that's now here with you. It is quiet at first, but quickly explains, I will be heard. I will stake my claim. Your chest grows heavy. You let out a sigh, for this is no stranger who's come in the night. This voice has been with you for many years, it seems. It always shows up and ruins your dreams. It makes you feel small, worthless, and dumb. This voice, you know, is difficult to overcome. It tells you you'll fail. Why bother? Just quit. You know you'll lose. You are an idiot. Not again, not again. Why do you do this to me? Why are you so hell-bent on making me unhappy? Every time I try to achieve something new, you come smash my dreams, make me feel so blue. You turn to your spark. I'm sorry, my friend. I'm no good. I'm defeated. I won't win in the end. The spark looks at you and sees your pain, but it vibrates and states a new perspective you'll gain. Give this voice a name and a personality too. Ask it some questions. Why is it part of your crew? You ponder this request, wondering what this will do, but you shrug, why not? I'll try something new. This, my friends, may seem weird, untrue, but if I can do it, well, so can you. I'll explain to you now how it happened for me, so that perhaps one day you can try it and see. Eyes closed, I breathed, asked this voice its name. Betty, she replied with a hint of disdain. I allow this voice, Betty, to come into view, leather catsuit, red lips, and a whip to boot. She stared me down, harsh look on her face, ready to berate me again and do so with haste. I mustered the courage, looked her straight in the eye. Dominatrix Betty, you're so terrible. Why? It's so blatantly obvious, she strongly replied. You're safe with me. I keep you alive. Remember the first time you felt embarrassed and shamed? Well, I showed up after, swear we'd never feel that again. I was shocked at first. I couldn't believe my ears, but I softened as I realized she tried to keep me safe all these years. I looked at her, my view fresh and new, and I said, thank you, Betty. I really do. But from now on, I've got it from here. I can keep us all safe. Please trust me, dear. I sensed her reluctance to completely let go, but she had to take a back seat, though we needn't be foes. I told my new spark, come here, sit by me. The road may be bumpy, but I'll finally be free. Free to explore, seek, and discover new roads ahead, all full with wonder. I turn to you now, inviting you to discover the voice deep inside of you, the one that's mean, degrading, and cruel. Ask them their name, why they do what they do. You all have your own Betty, I know that you do. Face them now and speak to them true. Politely, with love, tell them to step back. Explain, I've got this, and that's a fact. I need you to trust me, I really do. Because plain and simple, we've got some shit to do.
I love that poem. I love it, I love it. Because it's the epitome of trauma. It's the beginning, it's the end. It's all of that stuff in between. It's what you experience during trauma. And it has a hint of Dr. Seuss. It has a hint of it. Just a hint of Dr. Seuss. And like, you could say this all the time. So I was like, oh, and you even had the rhythm of Dr. Seuss. I said, she's even got the rhythm of Dr. Seuss. But ladies and gentlemen, you're going to enjoy this. I think that this poem, Betty, really stood out to me. I was like, this is trauma. This is so trauma, you know, and every step of the way until you get to that victory stage. So important. And I want to thank you, Lynn, for that, because it was really important for me to hear it. Oh. Reading it did my heart good, but hearing it from you did it better. Oh. And I know the audience probably enjoyed it too. So where can we find this beautiful book that you put out? Where can we find it?
Currently on Amazon. Okay. That's the only place it's available right now, but it is in paperback, okay, Kindle, and hardcover. And my hope is to get an audiobook maybe by May 9th is the 25th anniversary. So I'm hoping to maybe get that done by May 9th.
All right. So you know to look on Amazon for this book, Choosing Survival. And you got to know the name now, Lynn Forney, similar to corny. Okay. I'm learning. My audience knows that I always tear people's names up. So now I'm learning to kind of put, you explained it to me. So I'm really excited that I got a name right today.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for this. So what is on the horizon for you? Oh, you did tell us something about the audiobook. And what else? What is on the horizon?
I just actually, about 6 months ago, I completed a short film that I wrote and directed and starred in called Hot Sauce. It's a horror comedy, but kind of entering the film circuit. It takes about a year to go through it, but it's already up for a few awards at some of them. So I'm really excited about that. And I think my next kind of future project is I would love to do a dance on film based on one of the other poems in my book called The Cage. So that would be like my next kind of in the future project that I have.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. And if you could leave any words to anyone that's either going through trauma or just want to be empowered like you to do something, get the word out, what would that be?
First and foremost, advocate for yourself. You are absolutely worth it. I experienced a lot of shaming and blaming, and it's just very disheartening. But somehow I came to this piece of knowing that it instilled fear in them. Like, if this could happen to me randomly by someone I didn't know, it could happen to them. And so it's kind of this compassion of, okay, like, it's not appropriate. And I hope that people can learn from this too and how they respond. But there's this, if you can kind of keep that in your heart, like, this is instilling fear in them. And that's why they're responding in this way. and right. kind of, you know, still advocate for yourself. Right. That's so important. And I have done a lot of inner child work too. And we all have a wounded inner child that deserves love, yes. and, you know, and then we all have a magical inner child too. And I think reconnecting with both of those can make such a world of difference in our lives. So
you got that right.
Yeah.
Those are my right. We forget about the magical. We forget about the magical child because I'm a survivor from a young age. So, you know, when you're traumatized in that time, mm-hmm. right? You lose creativity, you yeah. lose imagination, which is magic.
Right.
That's magic. So you have to nurture the magical inner child as well, because you got to get it back. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm in it. I mean, I got it back. So I feel like one coffee all the time. So I'm really excited about where I can go. And I'm always speaking. I can get that. I can do that. You know, 5-year-olds, they say that. Yeah. I want everything. Give me everything. Yeah. My granddaughter told me she wanted for Christmas is everything. I was like, what? Everything. She didn't want to put a name to it. Everything. You know, I was like, okay. That's a child, you know?
It's this innocence and magic and amazement at everything, right? And I love toddlers. I love being around toddlers for that reason.
Yeah. Because
it kind of lights my inner child up too.
I think
so many of us could enter the world with more compassion and love if we kind of nurtured and loved our inner children. I mean, I so strongly believe that. So I hope
absolutely.
That's something I can do. And yeah, like the main message of my book is if without the dark, there is no light. Right. And so it's so hard when you're going through it, but somehow keep that in the end.
It's coming. Yeah. How can our audience reach out to you? Is a website, email?
Yeah, I have a website. It's just lynnforney.com. I hope there's an LYNN. And then, that's probably the best way. But I also have an email, choosingsurvival@gmail.com is another way you can reach out to me as well.
That's nice. Wonderful. Well, that brings us to the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. We want to thank Lynn Forney for being my guest and your guest today to talk about her book, Choosing Survival. And you know, if you want to look for me, you can find me on Twitter, let me see, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook, EJW Coaching. And remember to always have fun, no matter what you do. Bye for now.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.